Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised.
Chapter 2, Part 2.
Kriya. She felt her consciousness shift briefly, as a flicker of recognition caused lucidity within her dream. Once again, she was back there, back outside the walls of Kalendor, back within the arena of her own making, fighting alone against her would-be killer. 100 times had this moment played out within her mind, and each time she had been left wondering, were the events of this dream what had really transpired? Or was this merely a warning for what could have been her end? She had been injured in the duel with the beast. Valgeradon's hound had her within its clawed grasp, its immense fingers crushing the breath from her already tired lungs. No amount of anger, no amount of outrage could have stopped the inevitable, as she was raised up, brought towards that jagged maw like some morsel ready to be devoured. Only in that moment, in that final moment where she could do naught but accept her fate, the gods of death had not come for her. Instead, she fell with the loosening of the demon's grasp. Not its grip on her, but its grip on existence itself. The demon's corporeal form had disintegrated, as whichever force had maintained it began to wither and wane. She descended, tumbling down through the ashes as its body crumbled to scorched dust. And each time, just like the last, she woke up at the very moment of impact. Gazing across the room, she saw Cormac away to her left, deep in the throes of slumber. The former Red Sword's rotund chest seemed to rise and fall almost in unison with his incessant snoring. Perched beside the fire's edge sat Rowan, his eyes transfixed on the blaze as he snapped kindling between his fingers, tossing it into the flames mindlessly, while speaking in hushed voices with Orin. As usual, the old hunter had maintained the fire throughout the night. She knew he needed the distraction, if only to keep the thoughts of drinking at bay. Laying back with a sigh, she questioned if the few hours of meager sleep she'd had was all she was to get this night.
Cormac woke you up as well, lass.
Yeah, well,
join the guild. I'm off expecting to be sacked in every time he inhales.
I feel like that when he's just talking. The size of that gob of his.
Now you mention it, he does have a weirdly large mouth, doesn't he?
How else could he make such a bloody racket? Well, excuse me, but nature calls.
Galador, preserve me. How did I end up with these Arterians?
Kriya, Look, were you speaking to me in my sleep, Kriya? Well, not speaking to me, but, well, you know what I mean.
She rolled onto her side to face him, though she saw only his back. Rowan was still facing the fire.
It's not the first time. And I know it's meant to be natural for people like us, but I'm just worried that it's not actually you speaking to me. Not that I can hear what's being said anyway.
He shifted round to face her, and Kriya shook her head, pointing to the copper box he always kept beside him.
It's not me, Rowan.
Well, I don't need to be a psycho to read that look. Fuck. You think it's just dreams, though? I mean, with everything going on, it's not exactly crazy to be dreaming about voices, is it?
It's the stone, Rowan. I can't talk to you in my sleep. And it's because of the stone I can't talk to you when you're awake either.
The blighting aura of the Lordstone was always there, oppressing Kriya when she called upon her power, impeding her like some sodden cloak, heavy with rainfall.
Well, why not, eh? I mean, it's not like I haven't got enough on my plate, carrying around this ancient artifact that hordes of cultists and fucking demons want to get their hands on. I might as well start hearing voices as well, eh?
Just then, an idea came to mind. She stood up and reached down for her boots.
It's worth a try. And after all, who needs sleep anyway?
Hey. Hey, what's the matter?
We just need to get far enough away from it. Maybe the bridge or the keep.
Yeah. You can still hear him snoring from outside. He's louder than the bloody swamp life out there. It's a wonder those hounds never found us on the road.
She squeezed Rowan's shoulder and waved him to follow her, shaking her head when he instinctively reached down for the stone.
Leave the stone? I can't. I mean, I don't really think we should.
It needs to stay here.
All right. And where are you two going? Look, if you wanted to walk, lass, I could have gone. Leave Rowan to rest, eh?
She smiled at Orin, unsure if he offered to come for protection or out of jealousy. Either way, he would need to stay here with Cormac, but more so to watch over the Lordstone.
Don't worry, Orin. I'll bring her back to you. Just keep an eye on the box, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Just leave me here to look after that horrible thing. And the bloody Lordstone. Fair enough then. I'll just stay here and yeah. Enjoy your walk.
The lead is lack.
You really are gonna have to show me how to do that one of these days. I bet it saves a fortune in candles.
You would have learned this early on, had Vanguard not fallen.
They walked together through the village, stepping through the dense fog which had rolled in through the reeds and grasses of the marshland. The stench of the place was pervasive. It seemed to hang in the air with the mist, mingling with the foist and damp and the rotted wood odour which came from Ironwolf's homesteads.
What are we doing, Kriya? We can't go too far.
Ignoring his questions, she pressed on, down through the muddy paths that served as makeshift streets, passing on and by the empty homes and hovels which appeared almost sinister in the night's darkness.
Obviously, I trust your judgment, Kriya, but...
Kriya.
I don't want to stray too far from the stone. It is my charge, after all.
I spent so long learning to take up the mantle of Icon. The title. It took so long to get used to it, even just being called Lady Kriya. Now I miss it.
She thought of Braedic, and how even though they had grown close, he had continued to call her Lady or Icon. She missed the Grandmaster, even Icon Sigulf and Garrick, and of course her good friend Anvidar. But above all those, she felt the loss of Braedic every day. She would push that pain down. Kriya had grieved enough and needed to be strong for the others. She had been the one to inter Braedic, and she would take comfort in that he was now at rest beneath Vanguard.
That's where we met, my Icon.
She felt her heart miss a beat. It should not have been this easy, nor without pain.
Ruin?
She turned, and by the glimmer of light in her bald fist, she saw a mix of confusion and smiles upon Ruin's face. She could not help but return the smile back to him.
I saw you. I saw you and Braydick. Did you carry his body back to Vengar?
Tears began to well in her shining eyes.
I did.
I'm so sorry, Kriya. I had no idea.
It's fine. He had earned his place in the hereafter, Ruin.
This is great news. And it's about bloody time. That fucking lodestone.
She halted in her step at the sight of the bridge leading out to Fort Einwerf. Consisting of moss-slickened timber, it had seen much fixing, and whomever sought to its repair did so with little skill. To be able to see that much wrong with it, especially in the dark, was a worrying thought indeed.
That's the way to the keep, Kriya. I don't really think we should go much further. I mean, obviously I trust Orin and Cormac, but I don't want to go too far away from the lodestone.
You're right. We've gone far enough.
You know, it's strange. Whenever Ulrich spoke to me, connected with me, whatever, it hurt. Like, felt like someone had poured ice water into my head, or... I can't describe it. Why is this not happening now?
I don't know fully. Only that the pain you speak of, I experienced it also at the start. Though, after a time... A time much longer than it has taken for you. It went away. Or perhaps it just became bearable.
You know, maybe it's because of the time we spent together. Traveling, I mean.
Who can say? Besides, now that we can connect, we can continue the lessons of sigilcraft that you began with Ulrich.
You know what? You just read my mind.
Hrothgar. The all too familiar aroma of rotting offal assailed his senses. In accompaniment with this putrid stench, an orchestra of flies droned out annoyance at his disturbance. He had used a muddied boot to lift up the bloodied linens, a bundle of gory rags which had been heaped in a damp corner of this disused barn. Instantly, he felt regret, letting the soiled cloth return to fall as he recoiled his limb, hiding away the foul sight which would have caused any other man to retch. He spat on the ground in disgust, as if to be clear of the bad taste from within his mouth, yet the scent of this depravity had followed him for months now. The gloom within the old barn was shot through suddenly, as the only working door of a pair whined as it creaked open.
Any joy, Hrothgar?
No. None in here. Just more misery.
I see. Should we gather the bodies we found?
Bodies? These are children, Eglma. They belong to Garador. I must see to it they are given their last rites.
I did not mean to. Perhaps I am becoming numb to all of this.
And has it made it any easier to stomach?
Not even a little. I grow less hopeful of finding any alive when all we ever find is children. Always the children.
They're small bodies. They are too frail to be of any use to them. Enough of this. Go, gather them in and build pyres. I think it is time that we return to Kragalgan.
The news will be welcomed, Wolfhammer.
Do not call me that. I am not that man anymore.
It seems I am to spend this day apologizing. It is an old habit, and one I will try harder to quit. Forgive me, my friend.
Tell the men, the sooner the pyres are built and burning, the sooner we can.
He met eyes with Egilmar for the briefest of moments. Within a second, they had exited the barn, blades in hand.
Hounds! Screamer hounds!
Gather and draw your weapons! Joffrey, how many are there?
I saw six. Maybe seven of them. Coming out of the farmstead near the western gate.
Lupin, Hjalmar, Olsen, ready your crossbows and pick your shots well. We cannot afford mistakes this time. Jofrik, lead the way.
He held pace with Jofrik as the group marched through the southern village. Its badly maintained road, heavily waterlogged from the downpour, seemed more akin to a mud path than a bricked highway. Three of his men, Hjalmar, Osfen, and Lutin, walked poised and ready to fire. The arbalists had been hand-picked from amongst Thane Geldrig's own men, and each of them was a crack shot. Armed with these unique weapons, crossbows which had been designed in the capital Welfia as part of a commission by the Thane himself. The stock and limbs were carved from Basken yew, a tree solely found in Alantir. All of the firing mechanism, including the unique bolt which was affixed to the butt by a length of chain, was crafted from Welfir steel. The bolt heads would pierce the thickest of hide and armor alike, holding fast with its barbed tip. And finally, the length of chain would be used to deny any means of escape.
I see them.
And now they see us.
Prepare yourselves.
You said six or seven, Jofrik. That is a lot more than six or seven.
I never learned to count.
Wulfam, Hrothgar, what do we do?
Hrothgar reached down with his free hand, retrieving his axe from his belt. A single sword would not be enough here, he thought. This was not a time for half measures.
Hrothgar!
There is somebody coming! From the house!
They're chasing him, look! He won't make it in time. He's a goner.
Hrothgar!
Then we shall rescue him. It is why we are here, is it not? Go! Kill them all! For Garador! And Ulantir! Bring them down! I think that is the last of them. You! Hurry before more come!
Thank you. Thank you. They've been chasing me for days.
You've been hiding here?
Yes. I thought I'd lost them, but...
You can come with us. Back to Krag Alkan. Our ship is not far.
We should hurry then. There is something driving the Skelka. Those dog creatures. We should flee now before they arrive.
What do you mean, driving them?
They wear the flesh. They wear the flesh of men, but they're not human. Armored and savage looking.
But why were they chasing you? Who are you?
Egilmar.
It is an important question, Hrothgar. What if he brings more trouble? What if he brings them to Krag Alkan? What is your name?
My name is Geroth.
So, Geroth, where do you hail from? Your accent is very strange.
Enough, Egilmar. We can discuss this on the ship. All of you, head to the Flayed Maiden at once. We are leaving this place.
I do not like the look of this one, Hrothgar. Something is off here. Galador knows it.
The truth will out. By the Protectorate, the truth will out. Come, we return home.
That was Chapter 2, Part 2 of Aetherin Dark Saga. Please stay tuned for a promo for Libby Thomas's show, Glasgow Ghost Stories. Libby plays Kriya, Icon of Magics, in the show, and I'd really appreciate if you check out her work. Thanks for listening, and as always, remain vigilant.
Strange encounter in the rain, mysterious lights in the middle of the night, statues moving around when no one is watching. Suddenly, I could see the hidden world that had been hiding behind my own. The world of the dead was visible to me. My town, Glasgow, is a haunted place, but it's not the ghosts that haunt those familiar streets that scare me. What scares me is the thing that's haunting them. Glasgow Ghost Stories, an audio drama mystery about the dead of the city of Glasgow. Find it in your podcatcher of choice. And now, also introducing the mini-series Tracks, found on the same feed. A mission to reopen an abandoned railway station in the middle of a war-torn wilderness. On paper, it's a straightforward assignment. So why are the soldiers all so very afraid? And what exactly has been following the trains? Tracks, a 6-part horror mystery audio drama. Is this the end of the line? Find both Glasgow Ghost Stories and Tracks on iTunes and all other popular podcatchers, and learn more at glasgowghoststories.wordpress.com.